Welcome back to another episode of the Southern Saints podcast. Today, we are going to be diving into what we call the Word of Wisdom. Those of you who know members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints know some of us. You have learned, probably, that we do not partake of certain things like alcohol, tobacco, or coffee, and even tea. Yeah, so a lot of you may know that. A lot of you may just be finding that out now, that we don't drink coffee and tea. And today on this episode of the Southern Saints podcast, that's what we're going to be digging into. So I hope you enjoy. Let's get this started. As I have mentioned before in earlier episodes, I want you to keep in mind where we as Latter-day Saints are coming from. Remember, our church believes that Jesus Christ is literally the head of our church and that Jesus Christ is heavily involved in it. Remember, we believe God has restored the ancient order we read about in the scriptures, namely the calling of and ordaining men to serve as prophets and apostles. Imagine the leadership of a church receiving guidance directly from the Lord. Well, see, that's what we believe. This will help you understand our position and help certain phrases make sense and help you understand the proper context. Keep this in mind as I discuss the topic we call the Word of Wisdom. The Word of Wisdom is a law of health given to the Latter-day Saints by revelation through the prophet Joseph Smith on February 27, 1833 in Kirtland, Ohio. Now, did you catch anything interesting what I just said? We believe the Lord revealed a law of health to the prophet Joseph Smith to be given to the church, and we call this revealing revelation. Joseph Smith received this revelation, and this revelation was written down. The revelation reads as follows. It says, "A word of wisdom for the benefit of the Council of High Priests assembled in Kirtland and the Church and also the Saints in Zion, to be sent greeting, not by commandment or constraint, but by revelation, and the word of wisdom showing forth the order and will of God in the temporal salvation of all saints in the last days, given for a principle with promise, adapted to the capacity of the weak, and the weakest of all saints, who are or can be called saints. Behold, verily thus saith the Lord unto you, in consequence of evils and designs which do and will exist in the hearts of conspiring men in the last days, I have warned you and forewarned you by giving unto you this word of wisdom by revelation." Now I will pause here for a moment. I find it very interesting that the Lord uses the phrase word of wisdom as he begins to reveal a law or code of health to the Latter-day Saints. To all of you out there that are a little more advanced in age, like me and others, how many times have you heard or told or wanted to tell a youngster, "Hey, listen to your elders," or the old saying, "Take a little word from the wise"? Here is the Lord saying, "Hey, Let me give you a little word of wisdom. Also, the Lord revealing that when it comes to our temporal bodies, literally saving them or preserving them for as long as possible in our current mortal state, God has a plan for that. There is order in all things. To me, this idea of a law of health for our bodies makes perfect sense, not only in an obvious physical health sense, but a spiritual one as well. In the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, it says, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not of your own?" Heavenly Father views your body as a temple. Any Christian should understand the sacred nature of temple. Like the temples in the Old and New Testament, our bodies likewise should be viewed and treated with the utmost respect and, very importantly, kept clean, as its purpose is to house not only your spirit, but the spirit of the Holy Ghost as well. With this in mind, it makes perfect sense to me that the Lord would give special instructions for our bodies. Now, continuing on into the revelation, it continues, that inasmuch as any man drinketh wine or strong drink among you, behold, it is not good, neither meat in the sight of your Father, only in assembling yourselves together to offer up your sacraments before him. And behold, this should be wine, yea, pure wine of the grape of the vine of your own make. And again, strong drinks are not for the belly, but for the washing of your bodies. And again, tobacco is not for the body, neither for the belly, and is not good for man, but is an herb for bruises and all sick cattle, to be used with judgment and skill. And again, hot drinks are not for the body or belly. And again, verily I say unto you all wholesome herbs God hath ordained for the constitution, nature, and use of man. All right, so I'm going to pause here for a second again. So he tells us of things that we should not take into our bodies, alcohol, tobacco, strong drinks, and we'll get into that, strong and hot drinks. I'll get into that in just a second. But also the word of wisdom, the law of health, tells us of things that we should take into our bodies. So it's not just things that we shouldn't do, but things that we should do as well. And I'll start back again. And again, verily I say unto you, all wholesome herbs God hath ordained for the constitution, nature, and use of man. Every herb in the season thereof, and every fruit in the season thereof, all these to be used with prudence and thanksgiving. Yea, flesh also of beast and of the fowls of the air, I, the Lord, have ordained for the use of man with thanksgiving. Nevertheless, they are to be used sparingly. And it is pleasing unto me that they should not be used only in times of winter or of cold or famine. All grain is ordained for the use of man and of beast, to be the staff of life, not only for man, but for the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven, and all wild animals that run or creep on the earth. And these hath God made for the use of man only in times of famine and excess hunger. All grain is good for the food of man, as also the fruit of the vine, that which yieldeth fruit, whether in the ground or above the ground. Nevertheless, wheat for man, and corn for the ox, and oats for the horse, and rye for the fowls, and for swine, and for all beasts of the field, and barley for all useful animals, and for mild drinks, as also other grain. And all saints who were, okay, so he tells us of things that we should not partake, then tells us of things that we should be taking into our bodies. And then here the revelation kind of goes into what happens if we do these things, kind of the blessings that we should expect from the Lord by doing these things, by keeping this commandment. And it continues and says, "And all saints who remember to keep and do these sayings, walking in obedience to the commandments, shall receive health in their navel and marrow to their bones, and shall find wisdom and great treasures of knowledge, even hidden treasures, and shall run and not be weary, and shall walk and not faint. And I, the Lord, give unto them a promise that the destroying angel shall pass by them as the children of Israel and not slay them. Amen. That's what it says. So that's the revelation given to Joseph Smith. It is important to note that our church leaders have further clarified that, quote, strong drinks and hot drinks are specifically coffee and tea. Now, I have to admit, I love it when people ask me about why we don't drink alcohol, coffee, or tea. Now, remember, I also recognize the world I live in and how normal it is in our society for these things to be consumed. I also recognize how seemingly weird it looks to most people out there that we do not drink alcohol, coffee, and tea for religious reasons. To most members of the church, it is a tough conversation. To me, it's not a tough conversation, but is a conversation I love because it is an opportunity to help others learn or understand a few fascinating concepts pertaining to God that I have learned. Keep this in mind as I begin. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Keep that phrase in mind. Now, allow me to walk you through my thought process. We Latter-day Saints say, we believe God has instructed us not to consume alcohol, tobacco, coffee, and tea. Let's take a step back here a moment and ask, is it within the realm of possibilities that God would require his people to not eat or drink certain things? Absolutely. Why? Because it is something he has done before. The Old and New Testaments teach us something very fascinating. To keep these ideas simple and easier to understand, we learn in the Old Testament the ability of God to appoint things clean and unclean, requiring the children of Israel to not partake certain things. An obvious example in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 8, where the Lord reveals swine or pig as unclean, not to be eaten. The New Testament reveals to us God's ability to change his mind or to say, what I told you was unclean in the past is now clean. In Acts chapter 10, here, Peter receives the revelation to begin work among the Gentiles. The Lord actually tells Peter in a vision to eat things that were traditionally considered unclean. In Acts chapter 10, verse 11, it says, and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. So these things were on this sheet and come down to Peter in a vision. And continuing, it says, and there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Now I'm going to take a wild guess that most of you listening to me probably loves to eat some good old bacon or ham. In general, Christians eat pork, so Christians understand the concept of the Lord prohibiting certain things and the concept of change. Yes, God can do whatever he wants to do. I like to ask, is it possible that God would require his people to abstain from certain things in our day? Absolutely. Why? Because God has never revealed to us that he wouldn't. We should easily understand that God can and may require anything at any time from his children, and or require it for a limited time. Now, a little side note here. After what I just said, this should prompt questions in your mind automatically. One of those questions should be, if the Lord has something for us, for our day, and wants us to know about it, how does he reveal it to us? But Zeke, the Lord has revealed everything we need, or everything he wants us to know in the Bible, one may say. But I do not believe that, not for one second. Why? Because first, the Bible does not tell us this. The Bible makes no such claim. What the Bible does reveal to us is example after example of how the Lord has always revealed great and important things to his people. And how is that? Prophets. Now that's a biblical concept. Anyways, that's another topic for a different episode. Let me get back on track. You may ask, but why would God really prohibit something as innocent as coffee and tea? Maybe that answer lies within the answer to this question. Why would God prohibit someone from eating something as innocent and delicious as bacon? The answer is simply because he can. The word of wisdom is indeed a law of health, but may also be used by God for an additional reason. I believe and understand that God may in fact require you to do something or prohibit you from doing something just to see if you will be obedient. Do you think God would even go to the extreme of commanding someone to sacrifice their child just to see if they would be obedient? Obviously, if you know anything about Abraham and Isaac, you know absolutely God would go to that extreme to test obedience. Let's go back to my thought process. If my church tells me the Lord has commanded us to not consume alcohol, tobacco, coffee, or tea, I have the ability to take a step back and understand that it is quite possible that the Lord would require or prohibit such a thing. So I don't immediately reject it as nonsense. I have to consider that God can do whatever he wants, and the prohibiting of something, even seemingly innocent, is very much within the realm of possibilities of what the Lord may want to do. I want to give you my personal thoughts as answers to some common questions. What is it about coffee and tea that is bad for you? I answer, you know, I really don't know, but that's a non-issue to me. I view it as a matter of obedience. People could go back and forth all day long discussing the benefits and or harmful effects of coffee and tea on our bodies. I'm not concerned about whether coffee and tea are good or bad for me. All I've ever been concerned about is being obedient to what I believe are real commandments from God. What about caffeine? Yes, we can drink caffeine. Some members of the church may make the choice to not drink caffeine, but that's a personal health decision. But Zeke, most of the energy drinks out there are considerably more unhealthy or dangerous to the body than coffee and tea. Why can you drink those but not coffee and tea? Again, I don't get involved with the issue of whether certain things are better or worse for you. All I know is that I have been commanded by God to not partake of alcohol, tobacco, coffee, or tea. Knowing what I need to do is way more important to me than knowing why. In conclusion, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we believe the Lord has revealed to us a basic law of health, which is called the Word of Wisdom. This law reveals to us substances we should not take into our body, as well as reveals to us good things that we should be taking into our body. And as the Lord does, when he gives a command, he reminds us that there are indeed blessings associated with obedience. Again, I'm going to go back to the written revelation. The Lord tells us, and all saints who remember to keep and do these things, walking in obedience to the commandments, shall receive health in their navel and marrow to their bones, and shall find wisdom and great treasures of knowledge, even hidden treasures, and shall run and not be weary, and shall walk and not faint. And I, the Lord, give unto them a promise that the destroying angel shall not pass by them as the children of Israel, and not slay them. So we, as members of the church, we do not drink alcohol, coffee, or tea. And, you know, we understand, and, like I mentioned before, believe me, I know how that looks, right? And there's things that are so common in society as alcohol, coffee, and tea, and tobacco. And here we are, a church has come along and saying that the Lord has revealed to us to not partake of those things. But like I mentioned before, we have to understand that it is absolutely reasonable for the Lord to require, if he wants to, or to prohibit certain things to be eaten or to drink, because he has done it in the past. It is definitely something that he can do if he wants to. And we believe that he has. But he has required it as he has required it and commanded us to not doing in saying that it is a word of wisdom. There is wisdom behind it on requiring us not to partake certain things in our bodies and to also teach us the good things to take in our bodies. There is wisdom behind it. And we may not always understand why. Because like I said before, I'm more concerned about what I need to do. And not so much, although it is important, I'm not as much concerned as why I need to do something. In closing, just so everybody understands, we do not partake of alcohol, tobacco, coffee, and tea, and other things, you know, harmful drugs and all that stuff, because we believe that the Lord has commanded us not to. And as I mentioned before, the arguments and debates on health and whether they're good for you and ways that they are good for you, ways that they are bad for you, that is a non-issue to me. Because we believe that if the Lord commands us to do something, we should do it. That we should be obedient. Whether and even in times where it doesn't even make it makes sense, but it may not be a very popular thing. It may be contrary to societal norms. So that is the word of wisdom and why, in general, members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints do not partake in tobacco, alcohol, coffee, and tea as the main points. So stay tuned for more episodes of the Southern Saints podcast and other very interesting and fascinating topics to be discussed on this podcast. I'm out.